The first reading is from the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. For you yourselves know, brother, that our coming to you was not in vain. But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully tested at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was in deceit. But we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Even so, we speak not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. The second reading is from Matthew chapter 22, 34 to 46. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What do you think about Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." And he said to them, "How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool'? If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day on did anyone dare question him anymore. Amen.
"Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your hearts, with all your soul, and with all your minds. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be open to your love, so that we may be accepted in your sight, our strength and our liberator. Amen. Love is not what we feel for others, but what we do for others. It's not about the profit we gain, but the pleasure of love being received. Sometimes the better we express how we see and like things or others by using the L word, love. I love pizza. I love McDonald's. I love your dress. I love that car. I love that earring. I love everything that we see. If we get to analyze what we hear from these familiar phrases, it boils down to how we like a particular thing. The taste of food, like pizza or McDonald's, Big Macs. We like the looks of it, colors and features and shapes. We like things for their appearance, their size, their shapes. And there we are. We hear on the music arena that people sing their love. Sometimes I was just amusing and hearing they talk about the curves and the edges and all these to speak about love. As if the love we taste and see, and somehow when we say that, it's about me, how I see things and how I feel and how I like. And as I read this particular scripture for this morning, it taunts to me the band The Foreigners. It is a British-American rock band originally formed in New York in 1976 by Mike Jones and Ian McDonald and Lou Gramm. And their best single hits that has been topped in UK and United States, I Want to Know What Love Is. And it goes like this. I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. I want to feel what love is. I want you to show me. It sounds like the artist says, love can be known and felt if one willing to show. But in the process of seeking to know and feel that love, there is times to endure. He said, I got to take a little time to think things over. I better read between the lines in case I need it when I'm older. Not only that we have to take time and endure, but there's also mountains and challenges to climb. And the weight, like the world to bear, and yet through the clouds of uncertainty looms, we see love shines through. This is what this band were talking about. The band talks about the knowing and understanding of love, the feeling of love, cost of love, a practical, fulfilling part of love, and the joy of love at the same time as it trying to know and understand love. If it's someone willing to show love. I guess we know about love when we hear Jesus' response to his critics, the Pharisees. The commandment is the greatest of all, according to Jesus, as he quotes the Judaism most fundamental, ancient, and widely recited biblical message, the Shema. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest. He was unwilling to leave it simply at that. Jesus adds another scripture, and he said, the second is likeness. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, on these two commandments hangs all the law and the prophets. These two provides a summary of Jesus' mission and ministry. They are alike in the same that they interpret one another as the verses that flow clarity. The passage says the Pharisees trying to test him, but I don't think they care about how important the law is in their lives, in the lives of others. For you and me, we know the scripture. We heard this since we grew up. But it's another step to understand and live by it. We know the meanings, but what it's like to love and to be loved. I'm sure if we talk about songs, there's songs of love that we hear on the YouTube, on the radio, that we got CD at home. It's great when they talk about that. But most of it, as I understand it, is selfish love. Self-centered love. One-sided, hopeless love. Sometimes deceit and cruel masked that kind of love. Once is while I'm mature. When it's mature in love, others' centered love grew and stand the test of time. I think we take the word love for granted. The world obsessed with it, yet rarely do they witness, or we, and do it as we understand it. I believe love is unfamiliar in a lot of contexts. Because if we see what's happening around the world at this point, we question, is this love? Paul talked about love in terms of we love those we know, we love our family, and the pagans love their family as well. So what's the difference? The true love that Christ talked about here is, David Jeremiah said, love is an oxygen for the soul. We must have it. The first thing an infant need at birth is breathe and the hand to hold tenderly, to feel the love. The manifestation of love brings a lifetime of blessing when children know that they are held and held and cared for. That's what we hear Paul talks about in a first reading today. Paul said, as apostle of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you like a mother caring for their little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. This has come from the backdrop of Paul has been persecuted in Philippi, and he crossed over, and the way he bring the message, everybody was asking the question, is he really a disciple of Christ? But Paul trying to assure them, this kind of gentleness is love in action. Being considerate, meeting the needs of others, allowing time for others, person to talk, and being willing to learn. This is the kind of love that Paul was trying to say to the people of Thessalonica. Please, the teaching of other people discourage you from seeing the true love that we come in the name of Christ. We are so tender in giving you that love, not only the gospel, but our life. Love appears as the top of the virtues. This week, we celebrate a marriage between our members here. They are not here today. But that's the message that I shared with them. Love is kind. Love is gentle. Love never ends. Love cares for others before your own. And I turned to them and I said, which of those love that you choose? And they smile and look at me. And I said to them, I'm sorry, you're not choosing just one and throw away the rest. You take it all. If you want to be known as a couple, loving each other, there's a whole package that you have to carry. Unfortunately, it's a daily work. It's giving of yourself. And as we finished, we came out and we have the reception, and the bridegroom said to me, oh, that's a challenge. And I said, yes. If you want to have a strong relationship, and the love will be within yourself and within your family and within your wives, please, this is what you have to do. Love is not just a spiritual or divine feeling. Love wears gloves and handles every duties of life. It's highly practical and it's realistic, down to earth, touch one human being to another. Love hugs the lonely, feeds the hungry, watch over the sick, comforts the sorrowful, and put up with those who don't know and bring problems every day. As Paul said, love never ends. Until Jesus came to earth, this kind of love was unknown. The love that Jewish tradition was known, they love God with all their hearts, with soul and mind. They love their neighbors and they hate their enemies. But when Jesus came, he loved God with all his hearts, soul, mind, and strength, and loved neighbors as he loves himself, including his enemies. As they nail him to the cross, he said, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. No wonder why Stephen was so empowered and strengthened in the spirit. And when he was stoned, he said, forgive them, Lord, for what they're doing to me. What a powerful kind of love that transcends the feeling, the hurts, the pain, in order to give love to the full. And that's the only love that we notice in Jesus Christ's life. That's the love until the end. The challenge for me today: would we seek love in a way that we know? Or we hear what Jesus said as he responds to his critics: love the Lord your God with all your hearts, with all your minds, and with all your soul. We are unlovely until God loves us through Jesus Christ. And as he hung on the cross, the other criminals was hanging with him, and then Jesus turned to him and said, today we will be in paradise. The love, there is a risk in love. The true love, or true form of love, involves sacrifices. Love is not what we feel for others, but what we do for others. It's not about the profit we gain, but the pleasure of love being received. There's a story I'm sure that everybody knows, The Beauty and the Beast. The 18th century fairy tale tells a handsome young prince made ugly by a fairy tale after refusing for hospitality for her during the storm. Trapped in the form of hideous beast, lives alone, desperate to avoid the disgust of face of those who see him. But for the beast to be restored to original form, if someone loves him truly, in spite of his horrible appearance, one day beauty appears and ultimately offer him the kind of redeeming, transforming love. We are made unlovely by our choices to walk away from God's love. And yet God's love sees beneath the persons that God created. And when we open our lives to God's love, it transforms us back into what we're meant to be. So today, love the Lord our God with all our hearts. Not only we want to know what love is, but we have to show what love is. That transformative love that Christ has given to the world. Let us be empowered by the Holy Spirit to give love as we receive love from God. In our love for others, may others know God's love. And the tool for love is kindness, is patient. Love is protects. Love always trusts. Love is hope, persevere, and it never fails. Christ, love us as we are. May we go and love as we've been loved. Amen. Amen.